The following audio is from Harvest Fellowship. For more information about Harvest Fellowship, visit harvestabq.org.
Hey, let me add something to the announcement for Christmas, Mart. We're trying to give you a little bit of time to get ready for this. So we collect toys, and then for Christmas, Mart, we're giving them groceries, a new outfit for every kid, new toys. We wrap the presents, or we help them wrap. There's a lot going on. We'll give you details as we get closer. But we wanted to announce it this week because this Friday is something called Black Friday, and I don't think you should go spend all your money on Black Friday, but it is a way for you to leverage your dollars to be able to get more toys. So some of you insane people, they're going to be out on Friday. I will not be out shopping Friday, but some of you will. Look for some deals on some toys, and this way you can buy like three times as many if you get the right deals. And you know what Pastor Tyler was describing with parents saying, you know, this was exactly what my kid wanted. How did you know? It's called spirit-led shopping, okay? And so when you're walking down the aisle, the Spirit of God will tell you what to buy. But do not use that when you go home and justify it to your husband, and because then he'll call me, all right? So make sure you know your budget and go do that, okay? And this has nothing to do with today's message, but how many of you have ever been to a Matanza? Any of you? Isn't that like, where in the world did that come up? That's amazing, right? I mean, 400, I went yesterday, 400 pounds of meat. I mean, the Holy Spirit was in that. I don't know. It was awesome. Liz, I told someone today, if you've never been to one, you need to find one and then get yourself invited to it, all right? They're just a ton of fun. And that was for free. That has nothing to do with today. Today, we're continuing a series that you saw from the video called We Are the Church. And in case you're new, maybe you haven't heard us talk about this. When we say the church, we're not talking about a building, even though you came to a building today that would be most commonly referred to as a church. It's not the church. When we say the church, it's not a day of the week, even though Sunday's probably the most celebrated day with church culture, but that's not what we mean either. What we mean is people. So you and I, we are the church. And in Matthew chapter 16, Jesus made this incredible promise. He was standing at the gates of a city called Caesarea Philippi, which was so sinful and poor. You know, it's just such a negative city. And he's standing there. It was known as the gates of hell or the gates of Hades. And there at the gates of that city, he made this announcement. He said, I will build my church, and the gates of Hades will not overcome it. In other words, he said, he made this declaration, I'm going to build my church and nothing will be able to stop it. And for the last 2,000 plus years, he has been building his church. Nothing has been able to stop it. And I'll just declare this today, and I don't think anything ever will. Do you believe that? Because Jesus said, he said, I'm going to build my church. Now, on your way in, most of you, hopefully all of you, I don't know if we missed anyone, but hopefully you were able to get a gift today on your way in. It's not much of a gift. It's a gold star. How many of you, did you get a gold star? You got it? All right. All right. So here's the deal. I wanted to give you something today because I was thinking back. I was thinking about elementary school and how my teachers, specifically in elementary school, were so encouraging. I mean, how many of you know it takes a special gift to be like a kindergarten teacher, first grade, right? Like they are, if you are that, you are in saint category, okay? I don't know how you do it, but in elementary school, they're so encouraging, right? I mean, I was thinking about, you know, on my tests, right? They would put big smiley faces on them, right? They would find ways to encourage you and write, you know, a cross in big red letters, you know, awesome job, you know, great student, whatever they put on there. And my favorite though was when they would give me a gold star. I don't know why, but it just made me feel special. And it was fun today. I was watching as our hospitality team was giving, they were giving you gold stars. And it was fun. It was fun to watch because some of you, you don't even know why you got it, but it made you smile, right? Yeah, I mean, it just made you. So I wanted you to know you're special, all right? And this is your reward for showing up at church today. So you can wear it to lunch. And when you can go and your waiter's like, hey, why do you have a gold star? You say, because I went to church and my pastor loves loves me and he gave me a gold star, right? But I don't want to burst your bubble, but here's what I learned about gold stars. I would get one and I would wear it proudly, but then I found out they're really not worth that much, right? I'd get home and I'd forget it was on my clothes and my mom would wash my clothes and the gold star would be ruined and I would be sad, right? I mean, they don't really have a value. I mean, they make you feel good for a moment, but they don't really have a big value. And so, yes, I do love you and I hope you do feel special, but if all you're trying to do this morning by coming to church is to check the box, right, then you've done it, and that's your reward. You get a paper gold star sticker, and that is all that you get. But I don't think that that's what Jesus had in mind when he made this announcement. I will build my church. I don't think he was thinking, you know, I will give out gold stars to people who come, right? I think he had a bigger plan for us. We're going to look at that today. And in Psalm 92, there's an incredible psalm, and it starts like this. It says, the righteous will flourish. Everyone say flourish with me this morning. The righteous will flourish like a palm tree. They will grow like a cedar of Lebanon. And then say this word, planted. Planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. I want you to pay attention to those two words this morning, flourish and planted. What you'll see in the scriptures is that there's a disproportionate blessing on our lives when we plant ourselves in the Lord. But I want to be clear today, the goal is not to go to church, but rather to be the church, right? Not just to go to a service, to attend, but to actually embody, you know, the character and the love and who Christ is, and to be the church. And so my thesis today would probably be something like this. To be the church, you must be planted. To be the church, you must be planted. And it says here that the righteous will flourish. I had you, say that word with me because I want us to think about this today. This word flourish, what does it mean? Well, it means thriving, prospering, growing. And I would just ask you today, just rhetorically, to consider, is that how you would describe your life? Are you flourishing? Is your family flourishing? Are you growing, prospering? Are you thriving? The psalmist refers to two trees when he says this, the palm and the cedar tree. And this wasn't an accident. He didn't just randomly pick, you know, from a grab bag of trees, you know. He purposely picked these two trees. The cedar tree was known for its durability. The cedar tree is beautiful to look at. And if you know, you might know this, it also has a pleasant aroma. My grandparents lived about 2.5 hours from where I went to college. And so on the weekends, especially during duck season, I would leave on Friday and I would drive the 2.5 hours to where my grandparents lived. I would get in kind of late. They would already be in bed, but they had a spare room that was all set up for me. And I'd come in and I'd have a bag of my dirty clothes and I'd drop it off in the living room and I would go to bed. And then about 5 o'clock in the morning, I would hear my grandfather stirring his coffee. I would hear the clang of the spoon in the cup, and it would wake me up, and I'd go, and my grandpa and I would go duck hunting. And by the time we got back, my clothes were washed, dried, folded, and waiting on my bed, and next to it was a pecan pie. All right, so I'm spoiled. I know, okay? It was awesome. I mean, they just took such great care of me. But I was thinking, because in this spare bedroom at the foot of the bed was this cedar chest. And I remember when my grandparents passed away, there were not very many items that, you know, material items that were, you know, important to me, but one of them was this cedar chest. It was the chest, it held their extra blankets. Now, I'll say this, it never was cold in my grandparents' house. I mean, they always had the heater like full blast. But if, you know, you were to get cold, that's where you would have gone, is this chest. And I just, if you've ever been around a cedar chest, I mean, you open it, you just immediately, that smell, that aroma, right, that keeps the items in there fresh. You can just smell this, right? When King Solomon decided to build the temple there in the Old Testament, you see that he used the cedar tree to build much of the temple. He used the cedar for the pillars and the posts and the beams and many of the components of the roof. And the reason he did this is because he wanted the temple to last, because the cedar was durable. So when the psalmist says the righteous will flourish like the cedar, there's an implication that the righteous will last, that the righteous will survive the storms of life. And I'll just add that you might smell good too. I don't know if that part's true, but then the palm, he talks about the palm tree. The palm was symbolic of triumph and victory. When we're flourishing, we are triumphant and victorious. See, in the Corinthian Olympic Games, when someone would win a race, they didn't get a gold medal, they got a palm leaf, right? That this was the symbol of victory. When Jesus rode into Jerusalem on a donkey in what's called the triumphant entry, the crowds were lining the road and they were waving what? Palm branches, right? And they were laying them at his feet there. It's a sign of victory, right? This is what it looks like to flourish, is that the righteous will be victorious, right? The righteous will be triumphant in this world. And here's another thing about the trees. You're learning more about cedars and palms maybe than you want today, but both of these trees were what's known as an evergreen tree. And you know, because you live in New Mexico, we have a lot of evergreen trees here. And what that means is, like the name suggests, they are evergreen, right? They are always green. They're green in the summer, they're green in the winter, right? That we're in this time of year that, you know, most of the trees that are not evergreen trees are losing their leaves, right? We have a bunch of trees out here along our property, and for a while, when it turned fall, I would pull into the office and I would look at the trees. I'm like, man, they're so beautiful. They're turning yellow and orange and red and gold, beautiful colors. And then it seems like just overnight, one day they're full of color and the next day they look dead, right? And I walked out and I'm like, where'd all our leaves go, right? They just fall, right? But an evergreen is green all year long. And I think that the picture here is that a Christ follower, it's a picture of a green tree in the middle of winter, right? I mean, just picture, right? Picture, you know, I don't know if you like to ski or snowboard or hike or snowshoe in the winter, but if you're up in the mountains in the winter, you would see what the psalmist is implying here, right? You would see, you know, trees that have lost their leaves and they look dead, and then you would see trees that, even though they're surrounded and even covered by snow, they are still green. I love this picture because the evergreen tree stands up under the weight of the snow that is pressing down on them. The evergreen tree is victorious, right? It's a picture of life in the middle of winter. And the psalmist says that the righteous will flourish, the righteous. So how do the righteous flourish? Well, it says there in verse 13, planted in the house of the Lord, they will flourish in the courts of our God. See, the Bible doesn't say those who attend church will flourish. He says those who are planted will flourish. They're planted. Look at the imagery in the next couple of verses there in Psalm 92. It says, they will still bear fruit in old age. They will stay fresh and green, proclaiming the Lord is upright. He is my rock, and there is no wickedness in him. Is this how you would describe your spiritual life today? Are you flourishing spiritually, or are you withering? Are you increasing, or are you diminishing? And the ironic thing is that some of you who would say, I'm not flourishing, right? It feels like the leaves are falling off of my life, right? It feels like I'm not growing. I'm not pressing for it. The ironic thing is that some of you who would say that today, you've been attending church. Because I'm trying to draw a line here. It's not about going to church. It's about being planted. I want you to think of your life today as a seed. So picture a seed. It doesn't matter what kind, right? A watermelon seed, an orange seed, a sunflower seed, a banana seed. I don't know, right? Do bananas have seeds? I don't know. Pick a seed. Your life is a seed. And seeds represent potential. Right? They represent potential. When you're holding, you know, if you had a seed today and you were holding that seed, it represents potential. That, look, if this seed is planted, then it has a certain set of potential. If it's planted, then the potential is there that it can grow, that it can thrive, that it could produce fruit, right? That it could be productive, that ultimately that seed could be a blessing to others. Now, think about a seed that's not planted. If you leave that seed in the package, right, and you don't plant that seed, it still has potential, but the potential is very different. The potential now is that that seed is going to be dormant and unproductive and unfruitful and dissatisfied. See, your life, my life, is a seed. And the question we have to ask ourselves today is, am I planted? So as we think about this for a few minutes today, this idea that our life is a seed, I'll make this statement. A seed remains a seed unless it's planted. A seed is only a seed unless it's planted. The potential is there, but the only way that it becomes something, the only way it grows, the only way it produces fruit, the only way is if it's planted. If you leave it, you know, in the package, then it just stays a seed. If you store it in a safe place, it just stays a seed. Seeds don't magically become beautiful plants. They have to be planted. In Matthew chapter 13, Jesus tells this powerful parable called the parable of the sower. And he talks about a farmer. He says a farmer goes out to plant his seed, to sow his seed. And it tells us here, it says, as he's scattering it, some fell along the path. Picture, you know, a sidewalk or a hard path. And the seed that falls on that, the birds come and they eat it up. Some seed falls on rocky soil where it did not have much soil. It sprang up quickly because the soil was shallow. But when the sun came up, the plants were scorched and they withered because they had no root. Other seed fell among the thorns. And as the thorns grow up, it chokes the plants out. You see, none of these seeds in this parable ever reached their potential. Have you ever seen someone, if they're beside you, don't elbow them or anything, but have you seen someone who you would say they have so much potential? Why aren't they doing something with the potential? Why are they not rising up to who God made them to? Why are they not using their gift? Have you ever seen someone like that? And I just have this theory that when we see that in a person's life, that the reality is, if we could study their life, we would find out that they might have done good things. They might have even gone to church, but the reality is they probably were never truly planted. A planted seed has a totally different kind of potential than an unplanted seed. I mean, think about in the parable, we're going to read about the other soil in a second, but all of the seed was the same. All of the seed came out of the same barrel, the same bag. The seed was not what made it different. What made it different was the seed planted? It's an illustration of the condition of our hearts, the hard path, the rocky places, the thorny soil. But Jesus talks about one other kind of soil in verse 8. He says, still other seed fell on good soil. And on the good soil, it says it produced a crop 160, even 30 times what was sown. It's a picture of potential when we're planted in the right kind of soil. I'll say it again, a seed remains a seed unless it's planted. So what does a planted life look like? Well, we'll start with this, is going to church isn't the same as being planted. You know, some families, probably in the 9 o'clock service, because they're less spiritual than you are, but some families start their weekend with this conversation. Honey, are we going to go to church this weekend? And I'll just tell you, if it's a question, you know what that's saying is, there something better on the agenda? Is there something that we could do instead of, if you're making it optional, then you're probably not planted. I'll just call you out on that. There's a family that is part of our church, and there was a bit of a pattern that they would come for a little while, and then they would not come for a little while, and they'd come for a little while, and they'd not come for a little while. And I mean, truthfully, that could describe a few families, right? But this family, I love this, and they have a little girl, and they came to Trunk or Treat, and it had been a few weeks since they'd been to church when they came to Trunk or Treat, and as they're walking away from Trunk or Treat, the little girl says to her dad, "Dad, we need to go to church on Sunday, and we need to keep going, because we go for a while, and then we stop." And nothing like a child to call you out, right? You know what she's saying? "We're not planted, Dad. We come, we don't come. We come, we don't." And I tell this little girl every Sunday now, I'm like, "I love you. Stay on your parents." Because you know what she did? Then she went home and she wrote a note and she put it on the refrigerator. And I have a picture of it. And it says, "Don't forget, every Sunday we need to go to church." Listen, some of you, I'm going to send her to your house, okay? Some of you need this little girl or another one, right, to remind you that it's very different to say, "I go to a church," versus, "My family is planted. We are planted. We put some roots down." Because going to church, it's not a destination. It's a posture. It's who you are. See, when you plant, you do make a commitment to a local church, but you've also made a decision to build your life upon Jesus Christ. You're not just saying, "I'm going to show up on a Sunday." You're saying, "I'm going to live this way on Monday and Tuesday and Wednesday. I'm going to dig some roots here." In Matthew chapter 7, it's illustrated this difference. It says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does them will be like a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain fell, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on the house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on the rock." I could put another word in there, because it had been planted, right? There's a foundation there. There was something there to hold on to when the rain came and the wind came. This is a family. This is an illustration of a family who says, "We're going to plant. We're not just going to go. We're going to plant." And this continues in Matthew 7. It says, "Everyone who hears these words of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who built his house on the sand. And the rain fell," same rain as before, "and the winds blew, and the floods came, and it beat against the house." But watch the difference. "And that house fell, and great was the fall." I think this illustrates the difference between going to church and being planted. Because listen, you can go to church and still not be connected to one another. You can go to church and still not have roots that are going down deep. For as long as I can remember, my dad, when he writes birthday cards to me or so, you know, some sort of a congratulations card, he's done this as long as I can remember. He writes these words. He writes, "Son, develop deep roots and a tender heart." My whole life, he's been telling me this. He's been saying, "Dig some roots, son. Let those roots go down deep, right? He's been telling me a long time. What he's also telling me is, you can't depend on my roots. You've got to allow your roots to go down deep. The psalmist says it this way in Psalm 1, says, "Blessed is the man who does not walk in the counsel of the wicked, nor stand in the way of sinners, nor sit in the seat of scoffers, but his delight is in the way, the law of the Lord." Now watch this. "And on the law he meditates day and night." That's a picture of someone who's planted day and night, every day, not just Christmas and Easter, but every day I'm planted. And then watch, he's got the same imagery. He says, "He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither. In all that he does, he prospers." We could put the word there, flourishes, right? That's a picture. Here's another one. Jeremiah 17 says, "Blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is in the Lord. He," here it is "like a tree planted by the water that sends out its roots by the stream and does not fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green, and is not anxious in the year of drought, for it does not cease to bear fruit." Listen, church, when your roots are deep, you don't worry when the heat is turned up because you're rooted far enough down that you have hit the source of living water. When your roots are deep, you do not grow anxious when things get tight. There's the picture here, right? That the storms are going to come, right? I mean, I wish that when we signed up to follow Jesus, I wish that it meant a pain-free, struggle-free, blessed life. But it doesn't. It means that what it does say is that when the storms come, when the drought comes, when the trouble comes, that you will not be shaken because your roots go deep enough that they've tapped into the source so that no matter what's happening around you, you still have green leaves on your life. You still produce fruit. Lisa and I celebrated a recent anniversary in San Francisco, and they wouldn't let us have straws for our drinks, and so we left, and we went, and we visited the Muir Woods. I don't know if you've ever been out to see the redwoods, but it's just, it's beautiful. The redwood, you know, forests, and the redwoods are, they're pretty amazing. In fact, I learned this week that they're the tallest living thing on the planet. They grow up to 30 stories tall. That's tall, right? 30 stories tall. And so the question is, well, my goodness, I mean, they're way up in the sky. Like, how do they survive, right? When the winds come, I mean, they're a target. They're just standing up there in the wind. How do they survive? Well, they grow deep roots. And here's how they do it, is their roots don't just go deep, but they go wide and then deep. They'll grow out as far as 100 feet in every direction from the base of the tree. And as they grow out, then they begin to grow down. And what happens is that every redwood tree in the forest is doing the same thing. And so if you could look under the surface, you know, if you had a way to see under the soil, what you would see is these roots begin to interlock with one another, and they develop this amazing support structure underneath so that when the storm comes, the tree is held up not just by its own roots, but also by the roots of all of the other trees around it. Sounds kind of like church to me, or at least the way it's supposed to be. Is that we interlock our faith. We interlock our belief. We interlock, right? And when the storm comes, then we all help you to survive it. And when my storm comes, you help me to survive it. And we help one another, but you have to have some established roots for this to happen. Here's the other thing is when you plant yourself and your roots go deep and you are healthy as a believer, another thing happens, you produce fruit. Galatians chapter 5 talks about the fruit of the Spirit. It's things like love and joy and patience and peace and kindness and goodness, self-control and gentleness, all these faithfulness, all these amazing fruits, right? In other words, fruit is the natural byproduct of a healthy plant. If you plant something and you fertilize it and you water it and you give it some time and you prune that plant, you protect that, when it gets healthy, the natural byproduct is that it produces fruit. And this is what Galatians is trying to say to us, is when you are healthy and you are planted and you have roots and you are watered and you are fertilized, then the natural byproduct is that you will bear fruit. Jeremiah said it like this. He says, and a healthy plant or a healthy tree does not fear when the heat comes, for its leaves remain green. It's not anxious in the year of drought because it does not cease to bear fruit. I love this because people sometimes think that the only time you can bear fruit is when conditions are perfect. Right, as believers, this is that some of us incorrectly believe, right? That the only time I can bear fruit is when the conditions are right, when the bills are paid, when everyone's healthy, when there's no strife in the home, there's nothing, you know, there's no big, you know, things going on, then I can bear fruit. But the imagery of the scripture here is this, is that you and I can bear fruit all of the time. We can bear fruit when times are good and when times are difficult. You can have joy in the middle of chaos. You can have peace even when the bill's not paid and you're not sure how you're going to pay it, because it's not up to you to manufacture your own peace. It's up to you to have deep roots, and then the fruit of that is peace. And this is the kind of believer that the world needs to see. They need to see believers who have love and patience and gentleness when life throws us a curveball. They need to see believers who have peace when circumstances are not perfect. And we can do it if we have deep roots. This doesn't happen just because you go to church. It happens when you plant yourself. I've noticed something about people who live fruitful lives. I've noticed that people who live fruitful lives have realized that all of the fruit is not just for themselves. That actually the point of a fruitful life is to share the fruit with others. I told you that we assembled a team to do the shopping for Thanksgiving, for the meals that we'll be giving out tomorrow, and our team just did an amazing job. I mean, it's so awesome. I can't wait to haul everything over tomorrow and to bless families, and it's going to be awesome. I hope you'll come with me. But one of the people on this team is our friend Annika, and Annika, her dad is named Michael, and Michael lives up in northern New Mexico, and this guy has a green thumb, all right? I have a brown thumb. Some of you have green thumbs. I kill everything. Some of you grow everything, okay? He's got a green thumb, and he's got fields. I mean, not just a garden. He has fields that he plants, and he had a big greenhouse, and it wasn't big enough, so he tore it down and built a bigger one, right? And he's just always growing stuff. I mean, always. It's like never ending. And so when he comes to visit Annika, quite often he brings us boxes of fruit and vegetables, and I mean, quite frankly, stuff I don't even know what it is. I'm like, what is this that you grew? I mean, he's always growing, so he has to tell us, and we have to Google recipes for, I mean, it's just, but he's learned, right, that it's not meant to just keep to himself, so he shares it. And think about it. If we keep all of the fruit, then it just goes bad. We're not designed to produce fruit only for our own consumption. We're designed to produce fruit to be a blessing to others. And so Michael, he heard about our Thanksgiving giveaway. And so Michael took some shovels and a pickup truck, and he went to a potato field. And I don't know exactly how you do this, but he harvested a pickup load of potatoes. Sounds like hard work to me. I'm not sure. And so tomorrow we're going to give out turkeys and stuffing and whatever. I don't even know all the stuff they have bought for us. And we're also going to give away bags and bags of fresh out of the ground potatoes. That sound awesome, right? It's an illustration, right? That's awesome. Because the point of a fruitful life is to share the fruit with others. So let me talk about you for a second, because I'm not talking about potatoes, all right? Your love is meant to be shared, the fruit of love. Your peace is needed in our community. It's needed. Your joy can be contagious. Your kindness, oh my goodness, it can go so far in our world today. Your goodness can help so many. This is a picture of a planted life. It's suddenly you realize that it's not just about you. It's not just about, you know, you and your fruit, but you could actually make a difference in the world. So Harvest, I dare you to live this kind of a life. Pray for someone else. Encourage someone else. Give to someone else. Serve somewhere. Join a dream team. Watch a child's face light up as you're leading one of our Harvest kids, you know, small groups. Am I right? I'm getting some. I love it. Watch, you know, parents as you come alongside of Pastor Tyler and Natalie, and you help to disciple the next generation. Use your fruit. That's what I'm telling you. Use your potatoes to be a blessing to someone else. Plant yourself and live a fruitful life. I'm going to tell you something today. Some of you aren't going to believe me when I say it, but I'm a pastor, and so you should listen to me, okay? Here it is. Some of you are going to resist this. We need you. We need you. Because God made you uniquely with giftings and purposes. He made you unlike anyone else. I mean, if you looked at your finger today and you could put it under a magnifying glass, you would see a fingerprint that might look similar to someone else's, but it's not like theirs. You're the only one in the world that has that fingerprint. And we need your fingerprint for the kingdom of God. Here in Albuquerque, we need the gifts that only you possess. We need the talents and the purposes that only you have. We need your roots to interlock with our roots so that we become stronger. And we need your fruit to share with the community. You get to add to the cornucopia, right? Not a Thanksgiving thing, I don't know. We all put our fruit and our vegetable and we share. And here we're better with you. We really are. We are better with you. Psalm 92 uses this word flourish. It says the righteous will flourish. And if you could hear my heart today, I want you to flourish. I want your family to flourish. I want you to grow and to prosper and to thrive. And sometimes those words are only have financial connotations. And yes, I want you to financially prosper, but I'm talking more than that. I want your marriage to prosper. I want your children to love you. Maybe the bigger miracle is I want your children to love each other, right? I want you to flourish, to prosper. But to do that, to flourish, you are going to have to be planted. And we'll help you this morning. This is the last thing, then we'll pray. I'm going to help you this morning to develop deep roots. It's going to take time. You can't come for 2 or 3 weeks here and there and here and there and expect for the roots to go deep. They're going to stay shallow, and then the storm's going to come, and you're going to get knocked over. It's going to take some time. Think about what it takes for a tree to grow. You plant a seed in the right soil, and you need sunlight, and you need water, and you need the right temperature, but you also need time. I heard this week. I thought it was pretty ingenious. When is the best time to plant a tree? When's the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago. You're so discouraged now, right? Like, great, what do I do about that now, right? Well, you know, some of you know, I was a contractor for a lot of years, and then Lisa and I, we recently got to go back through one of the neighborhoods that we had built a lot of the houses, and I remember we turned the corner into this neighborhood, and I'm like, oh my goodness, it looks so different. I mean, Lisa and I just kept, we're like, the trees are so big and beautiful and green and to me it was like, it was sudden, right? It's like, because I hadn't been there in a long while, and we came around the corner, it's like, suddenly there are trees, right? And some of you look at a flourishing life, and that's, you're like, suddenly they are blessed. Suddenly they are prospering. Suddenly, you know, that's a marriage that loves one another. But listen, it is not sudden. That is a result of trees that have been planted years ago. The reality is those trees in that neighborhood didn't just sprout up. I remember planting them. Some of them I dug the hole, right? I mean, planted a little 6-foot, 7-foot tree, and it was so weak. The trunk was so small that after we planted it, we staked it down because I knew the wind was going to blow, and I didn't want it to fall over when the wind blew, so I staked it down, and we trenched, dug a trench out to it, and we put a sprinkler line in so that every day it could be watered. You know how we water a planted life? There's an image in God's word that his word is living water. You water your soul by digging in to God's word every single day. I mean, some of you wonder why you feel so dry when Sunday rolls around. It's because you haven't had water since last Sunday. So we dug trenches to these trees and we put a sprinkler system in. We fertilized those trees. And then I sold the house and a new owner took over and they pulled the weeds and they fertilized some more and they made sure, and years go by and time compounds and there's a big, beautiful tree. So when's the best time to plant a tree? 20 years ago. But here's the good news. When's the next best time to plant a tree? Right now. You're so smart. Right now. So listen, don't regret if you're just getting started, right? Don't blame someone else that your tree's not planted, right? Don't listen, the best time, because we can't go back. I wish we could, but we can't. No time machines here. The best time is to decide today. As for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Remember that in Joshua? We're going to plant ourselves. I was just reminded as I was sharing this in the 9 o'clock service, I was reminded that I'll just talk to you parents, just parents, especially parents with kids that are still in the home. We have the ability to shape the trajectory for our children and for our grandchildren and for our great-grandchildren. Like we have that ability. I'm so thankful because if you could look, you know, under my soil, so to speak, there's roots there that connect to my parents' roots. And there's roots that connect to my grandparents' roots. And there's roots that spread further out to my great-grandparents' roots. I remember as a little bitty boy waking up early in the morning when I'd visit my grandparents, and my great-grandfather lived with my grandparents, and I'd come into the living room and my great-grandfather would be sitting in his recliner reading God's word. I mean, like clockwork. He was developing roots that have come generations now. Now listen, I had to make my own decision, and your kids and my kids will as well. But one of the ways we can ensure that they will take the right path is we dig deep roots that will hold their little hearts as they grow up. And we can change the trajectory for generations. For some of you, you're first generation. You don't have roots to connect into, but you have some roots here to connect with. We can interlock roots. And like at the 9 o'clock service, we dedicated Jason and Sarah from our Rio Rancho campus. They're twins. Oh, they're so cute. I just love it. And listen, we're part of that, right? We come alongside. It's part of being a part of a church is we come alongside of one another. And the storms come, but we hold one another up. So there's two responses today. Number one would be this. It's going to take some honesty. It would be this. I'm a Christian, but the truth is I'm not planted. Well, how do you know if you're planted? If you're asking yourself today, you're not planted. That's how you can tell. Like, that's the test. If you're wondering, am I planted? You're not planted. So response one would be, I'm a Christ follower, but I'm not planted. Number two would be, I know I'm not planted because I'm not a Christ follower. I haven't made the decision to follow Jesus. But today is the best day to plant a tree. Today's the best day for you to begin to put some roots down for you, your family, and the generations to come. So Harvest, why don't you stand with me? We're gonna pray. We're gonna close this morning. You gotta stand because you can't plant a tree sitting down, all right? And I see some of you, you're ready. You're ready to go plant a tree. We're gonna respond right now. Let me just tell you, so almost every week, we look for a way for you to respond. You know, sometimes I have you lift your hand. Sometimes I have you come to the front. You know, we do different things, and that's very strategic. And I know sometimes it's uncomfortable. I know sometimes it's difficult. I get it. But listen, I'm just telling you. I've just learned over the years, it's not enough to hear a feel-good message. It's not enough to hear the word of God. Remember what Matthew 7 says? Remember, if you hear it and you do it, That's how you found yourself on the rock, right? But if you hear it and you do, and so I try to help you on a Sunday with the first do, which is often just raise your hand or come to the front or pray a prayer. I'm trying to help you to get your feet moving in the right direction. And so today I'm going to ask two questions and I'm going to ask you to respond. But we're going to do this because I want you to have some privacy. So bow your heads this morning and close your eyes. Because it's not no one else needs to know. This is between you and God this morning. So number one, you'd say I'm a Christ follower, but I can tell you this morning, Pastor, I'm not planted. My family is not planted this morning. But today we're deciding to dig some roots down. If that's you, would you just right where you're at, just lift your hand? This is such a strong, I mean, you are committing right now. You're not joining a church. You're not committing to Harvest. You're saying, I'm going to dig some roots, some deep, powerful, strong roots that will hold us up in the middle of whatever life throws our way. Thank you, so many of you. And here's a second one. You'd say, Pastor, I want to make a decision today to follow Christ. I'm making the first decision to be planted. A seed remains a seed unless it's planted. And I want to reach my potential, the potential that God has for me. So I'm choosing today to make Jesus the king of my life. If that's you, would you just lift your hand right where you're at? It's a personal decision. You're saying, I'm choosing to follow Jesus today. Thank you. So church, let's just say this prayer. I'm going to lead in it. I'm asking you to repeat it after me. It's not about the words. It's about the heart, the posture of your heart. So let's just say this together because we're all on the same journey, all right? So Jesus, be king of my life today. I submit myself to you. I plant myself in you. Have your way in my life. I want to bear much fruit. So I listen for your voice. Water me, Lord, with your word. Help me to grow. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Let me just pray over you. Father, I pray over every family who today, there's some substantial decisions being made today to plant ourselves in the Lord. God, I pray today that roots would go deep. Lord, that strong systems would go down in our hearts to hold us, to plant us. And Lord, I just declare over this house, Lord, that this will be a house that bears much fruit. And as we bear fruit, we're not going to store it and hang on to it, but we're going to share with the world. We're going to give it away. We're going to be generous. We're going to help. We're going to serve. We're going to love. We're going to allow the fruits of the Spirit that you develop in us to be used to be a blessing across Albuquerque and Rio Rancho and New Mexico and to the ends of the earth. We just declare today, Lord, fruitful lives, no matter the conditions. But I pray, Lord, for those today that would say they're in a season of winter. Times are tough. There's need there. God, I pray. I pray right now, Lord, we believe as a church in miracles. We believe in the supernatural. We believe in your power and your authority, in your might, in your greatness. And so, Lord, today I pray for friends who are in a winter season. Your promise is that we would bear fruit no matter the season. And Lord, I pray, God, for the ability to overcome. The ability to stay green in the winter. The ability to hold up under the weight. Lord, I pray for those in storms today. Lord, and may the roots hold fast. May our interconnectedness hold one another up. Lord, may we help each other in this time. And Lord, I just declare over us that we will bear much fruit. Lord, tomorrow, as we go into our community to share literally fruit, but also spiritually, God, I'm believing you for an amazing impact, Lord, here in our community. Give us favor this week and help us to represent you well. In Jesus' name, and everyone said, amen, amen. Church, as you're leaving today, may the Lord bless you, keep you, cause his face to shine upon you, give you grace now and forever. Harvest, go be the church.
Thank you for listening to the Harvest Fellowship podcast. For more information, visit harvestabq.org.